Precious Father, grant me the grace to be an instrument of your service this evening. Amen. I'm now calling name Mary Lou.
Hi,
friends. My home group is the responsibility group that meets on Saturday night at Church of the Cross. I was going to say Our Lady of Peace. Oh, my God. That was a long time ago. Church of the Cross, 8 o'clock. If you don't have a home group, come on down and see, check us out. You know, I think our home group's the best one going. My second home group is Wednesday night, a Young of Hearts group at the Alkanon Club. I picked that group up, about 3 years ago when I was retiring and had my nights free. And the reason I picked that group was because it's my sponsor's home group. And this guarantees that I spend at least one night a week with my sponsor. And so I have that personal contact with her on a weekly basis. My sobriety date is January 17, 1983. So by the grace of God, the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, the 12 Steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, I've not found it necessary to pick up a drink in 34 years, and that's truly, truly a miracle. And I want to thank Deborah for asking me to speak tonight. You know, it's always an honor to be asked to share at any AA event. I'm a little confused, though, that she asked me to speak on Step 7. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings, because when I got here, I didn't have any shortcomings, so I didn't really have to do much work, so I really don't have a whole lot to talk about. My sponsor's sitting there. So. Okay. I'm going to start by talking about this past month. Since I really didn't have many character defects when I got here, I wasn't going to have much to talk about. So God provided me this past month with a whole lot of opportunities to recognize and work on my character defects. So it's all Deborah's fault, I think. Everything that's happened to me this past month must be Deborah's fault. One of my character defects is I like to blame. I like to be the victim. And I work real hard on not doing that today, on owning my part in things. But it all started at the end of August when a woman that I've sponsored for 32 years found out that her husband had terminal cancer. And I had planned on going down in October to see them, but I had told her if she needed me before that to let me know. And she called me in August and said, "Can you come down now?" And so I said yes. I got on the plane and went. I had some mixed feelings about it because my husband is not real well. But I left him in the care of my sponsor and my adopted daughter and the guys he sponsors. And I knew he was going to be okay. And I knew I was needed in Florida. And I'm really, really glad I was down there because Dave had gone through chemotherapy and it didn't work. He'd gone through immune therapy and it didn't work. And he now is in the second round of chemotherapy, a different type. And when I was down there, he was told that that was not working. And he was given 3 to 6 months to live. So I knew I was where I was supposed to be. I was there with Cheryl and Dave and was able to walk with them through that. And just be there for them. That in itself brought out one of my character defects, and that's survivor guilt. I am a survivor of cancer 2 times over. Okay, I had breast cancer in 1994, and in 2012 I had oral cancer. And I've been truly, truly blessed. I am cancer-free. I've had full recoveries from both. Very minor side effects left over. From the oral cancer, the worst thing that has happened is they had to remove most of my saliva glands, so I have a dry mouth. Big deal, right? big deal. So I'm truly, truly blessed. But when I'm close to people and see them suffering with cancer and see watching them go through it, I feel guilty. I feel guilty. You know, why has God permitted me to live? And so I have to stop and say, stop it, Mary Lou. Stop it, Mary Lou. Why not you? For whatever reason, you're here because God still has work for you to do. Don't question it. Just enjoy each day and live each day to the best of your ability and be a service as best as you can be. So we got through that little episode of and the next thing that happened while I was down in Florida was Irma. Okay? Now, I've never faced a hurricane. Faced a lot of blizzards, but I never faced a hurricane. And Friday, when I was supposed to fly home, I got a text message that they were closing airports at 2 o'clock or at one at noon, and my flight home was canceled. And I probably wouldn't be able to get out until maybe, hopefully, Wednesday morning. So my husband's here in Erie, sick, and he's getting sicker. And I'm down in Florida, and I'm feeling totally, totally powerless. Not only I'm powerless over what's going on with my husband, I'm powerless over what's going on down there, with what's going on with Dave, with what's going on with Cheryl. I'm powerless over Irma. And when I feel powerless, I usually get angry. And I got angry. And I got angry at God. You know, what are you doing, God? You know, and then I had to say, stop it, Mary Lou. This is not about you. This is not about you. And that was one of the things that took me a long time to get through my head, and when I got sober and started working on myself, was everything was not about me. You know, the world did not evolve around Mary Lou. God was not creating Irma just to make my life miserable. Okay? So, you know, I was feeling powerless over, as I said, because of my husband. And so I had to trust God that he was going to take care of my husband up here, because I really believed that I was where I was supposed to be in Florida. And for whatever reason, God was keeping my stay there a little longer than what I had planned. And I had to trust that my sponsor was taking care of my husband. And then I had to start working on my fear of what was coming with a hurricane, because that was a totally new experience to me. And when I experience anything new, I usually get afraid. And again, I get angry. And so I got angry and afraid, and I had to do some more praying and come to the realization that God did not bring me this far to let me go now, and that he was going to take care of me down in Florida and my husband up in Erie. So that was the first 2 weeks of this month. And I finally made it home. And my husband is still sick. And he's not getting better. And we go to the doctor. The doctor really doesn't have any answers. And again, I'm feeling powerless. I'm getting angry. I call my sponsor, bitch at her, because I'm angry. And I'm getting mad at God, getting mad at myself, just getting angry. And I'm afraid. I am so, I'm starting to be afraid. Saturday night, was the anniversary dinner dance of AA, and my husband and I always go to that. We had tickets, but he was too sick to go, so I went by myself. And when I was sitting in that room looking at the all the people that had passed, the only thing I could think about was, when is my husband's name going to be up there? And I got so scared, so scared. And I had to go back out into the meeting room, and I had to let people love me. I had to let people know I was afraid. I couldn't keep it inside because the old Mary Lou kept everything inside, put up this big front that nothing's wrong, everything's great, you know. And I can't do that today. That's deadly for me today. Today I got to let people know what's going on with Mary Lou. And I had to go out there and I had to say to my sponsor and some of the people I sponsor and some of my friends that were out there, I'm really afraid. I don't know what's going on with Jack and I'm really afraid. And they just hugged me and told me it was going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And it is going to be okay. I was went in the hospital on Tuesday, and they finally figured out what was wrong with him, and they got him on the right medicine, and he's getting better. So it's going to be okay. But that was kind of the month preceding this talk. And I, as I said, it gave me a lot of opportunities to work on, especially fear and powerlessness, and how I respond to those two things, and my self-centeredness. And if you look at your character defects, you will probably find that most of them come from fear, a cover-up of fear, come from our self-centeredness, you know, the ism of the disease, the I, the self, the me, and pain, you know, ways of dealing with pain. And I thoroughly believe that I was born with the ism, the I, the self, the me, and that meant that for me anyway, that I was born in fear and born in pain. You know, all I knew until I got to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous was fear and emotional pain. Okay. And all my character defects that I developed was to deal with those two things. Was to deal with fear and to deal with what did I just say? It's pain. I'm going crazy. Okay, stop thinking. Also, coming here tonight, I had an opportunity to work on some more character defects. I tend to be a perfectionist. Shut up. Never bring your sponsor to something like this, especially when you're talking about character defects. And ordinarily, to give a talk up here like this, I would spend hours and hours and hours preparing. I would read everything I could find on the seventh step, whether it was from AA, NA, OA, you know, and every program on the seventh step, I'd read everything they had on it, and I would come up here and give you this brilliant talk. Well, because of the way my life's been this past month, I really haven't had time to do that. So, I'm working on my perfectionism because where you get tonight is basically coming from my heart. It's hopefully the message that God wants me to bring you. I made a few notes, but not too many. You know, one of the reasons that, again, my perfectionism is a response to fear. And my fear is that I'm going to stand up here and sound stupid, okay? And you're going to judge me, and you're going to think less of me. And so my response to that is I have to be perfect. Because if I'm perfect, then you're going to tell me how wonderful I am. And I'm going to love you, okay? But that's not reality. Reality is I'm not perfect. Reality is I'm a human being and I make mistakes. And the bottom line is, I said a prayer before I started talking, so if you don't like what I say tonight, guess who you got to blame? Not me. Okay, so let's take a look at step 7. Humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. Okay, I understand Jim was here last week and talked about step six, and that was getting us ready. Okay, ready to have our character defects removed. So if Jim got you ready, I really don't have to do anything. Just let him go, okay? Now, the key word in step seven is humbly. And I don't know about you, but when I first got here, I didn't like the word humbly, humble, because I confused it with humiliation. You know, during my addiction, I humiliated myself a whole lot. And now that I was sober, I didn't want any more of that. So what are you telling me I'm supposed to be humble about? So I had to develop an understanding of the word humble, humility. And if you go to the 12 and 12, well, let's look at the big book first. I love what the big book says about the seventh step. It's only one little paragraph, or two paragraphs. Page 76 of the big book. We are now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable. Can he now take them all, every one? If we still cling to something we will not let go, we ask God to help us be willing. When ready, we say something like this: My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you would now remove from me every single defect of character that stands in the way of my usefulness to you and to my fellows. Grant me strength as I go from here to do your bidding. We have now completed step seven. Two paragraphs. Okay. So why have I been working on it for 34 years? Yeah, why? Because I keep taking them back. Okay, God takes them and I take them back. Okay. You know, humility is not humiliation. It's not shame. It's not embarrassment. In the 12 and 12, on page 70, Bill wrote, without some degree of humility, no alcoholic can stay sober at all. Nearly all AAs have found, too, that unless they develop much more of this precious quality than may be required just for sobriety, they still haven't much chance of becoming happy. You know, I want to be happy. So, and this tells me if I want to be happy. You know, I didn't get sober to be miserable. You know, I want to be happy. I want to be joyous, happy, and free. And so this tells me that if I want to be happy, I must develop humility. So what is humility? Webster says it's freedom from pride and arrogance, lowliness of mind, a modest estimate of one's own worth, a sense of one's own unworthiness through imperfections and sinfulness. I don't like the word sinfulness. Imperfection I can handle. It simply means that we realize what our limitations are, and we acknowledge both our limitations and our strengths. Okay. Accepting myself as a human being who is going to make mistakes, and using my mistakes to become a better person, to grow. Acknowledging that I am not perfect. My mistakes are simply mistakes. They do not define me. For a long time, I thought that I was defined by everything I did wrong, everything I wasn't good enough for, everything, you know, all the negatives. And one of the things, when I first got sober, my original sponsor was Gretchen Lutch. She passed away when I was 11 and a half years sober. But one of the things she told me I was self-centered. And I said, what are you talking about? I'm not self-centered. I don't have any self-worth at all, so how am I self-centered? And she said, well, all you think about is how bad you are, how worthless you are, how you don't do anything right, how stupid you are, how ugly you are. So you're still focused on yourself, even though it's all the negative, it's still focused on yourself, so you're self-centered. I thought, wow. Wow. I said, well, that was a new concept for me. So I had to start working on that. The second part of step seven, the first part is humbly ask him. The second part is, what are we asking to do? Remove our shortcomings. And that means that I open myself up to change. I become willing to change. I acknowledge the fact that I can change. But I also acknowledge the fact that I can't do it by myself. I ask my higher power for help. The first thing, humble thing I probably ever did in my whole life was when I admitted I was powerless over alcohol and that my life had become unmanageable. That was the first time I admitted that I wasn't all power, that there was something greater than myself that could help me. And since then, I had had to humble myself many times. We take actions and we leave the results up to God. Okay. This step moves me from the self-centeredness of my alcoholism towards others and towards God. It helps me to become more useful to God and to others. And the whole purpose of letting go of my character defects is so I can be more useful to God and to others. It's to be of service. Acceptance is a key to change. When I accept myself just as I am, I can change. If I am preoccupied with criticizing and finding fault with myself, I will probably stay stuck in the old behaviors. One of the things I found that helped me in turning my character defects over to the care of God as I understood him was I made myself a God box. And when something would come up that I wanted to let go of, I would write it on a piece of paper and I'd put it in my God box. And that actually, having that actual thing doing something, helped me to visualize and to develop the faith that this was going to work. Writing something down, putting it in my God box. Now, sometimes I took stuff out of my God box. I had to put it back in. but that helped me, especially early on. I still have a God box today, and sometimes I look in it, and some of the things I put in, and I think, wow, I can't believe that that was ever a problem, that that was ever something that I needed to let go of. I wonder where I was then. As I said earlier, my character defects stem from fear and emotional pain. When I am afraid, I cover up with anger. Anger kept people at a distance. I was afraid of people. I didn't want to be hurt, and I knew you were going to hurt me. So if I was angry and let that anger be out there, you wouldn't get too close. You wouldn't get close enough to see how vulnerable I was. You wouldn't get close enough to see how afraid I was. So I used anger to keep people out, to keep people away. The emotional pain, the way I dealt with that was I withdrew into myself. Okay. When I first got sober, I had 38 years worth of emotional pain that I had stuffed and drank and drugged away. And that all came bubbling out. And that those first 2 years of my sobriety were not nice. They were horrible, as a matter of fact. But I'm glad I made it through them. Okay. But you know, you took away my only defenses. You took away my alcohol. And now all this emotional pain is bubbling out. And I had to deal with it piece by piece by piece. And you walked me through that pain. And I had to be willing to walk through the pain to get to the other side to find peace and happiness and joy. Okay. I'm going to give you an example of... How am I doing on time here? Oh, I better quit. My sponsor said that her favorite TV show comes on at 8, and she has to be home. Okay, so I guess I better shut up. Okay, I need to continue to be open to change and to remain teachable. I'm going to change here. I'm going to close this little book up, and thank you.
All right.
Why did you look at that?
No, you were into it.
I was. I was the
you
best
were language
part.
From the heart all
you want
the
me
way.
To come back next week?
Step 7, part 2, exactly. Now it's your fault, right. Okay, so that was excellent talk about character defects and being humble and all. Does anybody have any questions about step 7 I'd like to ask Mary Lou? Okay.
Jeff, alcoholic.
Hi, Jeff.
And you were wonderful.
Really. Thank you.
Okay. My question to you is, asked God, you know, to remove these character defects. And now, is this something, obviously it's not a one and done. How often do you do it? Is it something that you do on a daily, every morning, or yeah. How do you go about, my question is, do you do it all the time, every day? You make a conscious effort to do it every day? I guess that is my question.
Okay. First of all, I incorporate that into my 10th step, which is my daily inventory. Okay. And when I do my daily inventory, I take a look at, you know, have I been self-centered today? Have I been afraid today? Have I been angry today? You know, anger is normal. I'm going to get angry. You know, how have I dealt with those things? And then the other thing I do is when I work the steps, I spend a month each year working on a step. Okay, like in January, I focus on step 1 really deeply. February, I focus on step 2. So I just have recently focused on step 7. But I do. It's a continual thing, yeah. And usually what I find is the power of my character defects is in direct relationship of my conscious contact with God. Okay. When I'm getting off key, somebody, usually my sponsor, will say to me, Mary Lou, you're really being negative lately. What's going on? And that's a key. You know, that's a red flag that says, okay, it's something you look at. Or somebody will say, well, that was really judgmental, Mary Lou. That's not like you to be like that. Why did you say that? Those are my two biggies. Negative thinking and being judgmental. And those let me know that, okay, I need to get back in my conscious contact with God. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Oh, see, I can go back to my talk.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming out. You did a very nice job. See, and you were worried about it. Bruce is looking for somebody for step 8, so maybe he'll corner you after this, and we'll just be the Mary Lou show.
I like it.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, when you're working with people, and like you mentioned at the beginning, when you got here, you didn't have any shortcomings or character defects. How do you approach that when one of your sponsees doesn't have any character defects or shortcomings?
How do I approach that, Wendy? And then I say, no shit. But I think, you know, I tend to, you know, I'm not the old school where you browbeat people, okay? I tend to do things, in, hopefully in a nurturing way. I mean, there are many ways of telling people that they need that something here needs to be changed. And I usually, first of all, I'll talk about myself. And when I was like that, so, and this is how it, you know, what it led me to or what it didn't lead me to. And, you know, I try to be nurturing above all things, you know, not. Hear that? No more that.
The other thing I would add to that. Because there's lots of ways to be able to look at yourself and wonder if you're doing those things you shouldn't be doing. But my sponsor, a long time ago, sort of said to me, what you can do at the end of the day is to take an inventory and think about how the day went. You probably do that anyway, that's how you do it. Because if something's going wrong and you're doing things that are not quite right, if you think of that for the end of the day and go over that, you can sort of understand what's happening. I don't always do that every day, but sometimes I think that that's a good way to just review your day and say, how did it go today? Did I get ticked off at somebody? And just doing it that way, and it really, for me, that works the best when I remember. So, anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Carol. Oh, here we go. Hi, Carrie Alcoholic.
Hi, Carrie.
Thank you so much. What a great talk. I really did get a lot out of it. When you were saying about, in the beginning when you were saying that you felt powerless over a situation, you covered it up with anger, but you paused. And you were starting to talk to others about that. Can you explain more on what you did to let that out?
Just basically, you know, talking to whoever's around me. You know, usually I'm surrounded by AAs, okay? And so there's always somebody there to talk to. But I just know, see, if I go back inside my walls, I know I'm going to die. And I know I can't do that today. I cannot go back inside those walls. I can't start stuffing stuff, and I can't start avoiding things by anger. I've got to, whenever something's going on with me, I've got to talk about it. I've got to say I'm afraid. I've got to say, you know, I need help with this. I just have to. I have no choice. To me, it's a matter of life and death. And so sometimes it's hard to say, I'm afraid, or sometimes it's hard to say, you know, I'm really angry right now, but I have to say it. And I always have to remember that the anger is simply covering up something else. It's never the true thing.
Are you Dan?
Hi, Dan.
My name is Dan. I'm always an alcoholic.
Hi, Dan.
How do you not look at being humble as a weakness?
Because it's simply acknowledging, you know, I look at it as simply acknowledging who I really am, accepting who I am, and I, you know, and admitting, yeah, I do have weaknesses, but I also have strengths. You know, humble, if you look it up in the dictionary, it's both. You know, it's acknowledging your good and your bad. And it took time. I mean, I said, for a long time, I didn't want anything to do with that word.
Yes. Here we go.
you weren't gone so long at Florida, and I would have. Anyway, I need to know, you said something really powerful, and it was the fear and the emotional pain are the source of my problems. And so recently I had an awakening of a whole lot of fear and emotional pain upheavaling out of me, and I was able to recognize how I was acting out of these fears that were coming up and out of me. And you said it's always in direct proportion to my spiritual condition. Can you expound on that a little?
Usually when my defects are really out there, you know, I'm acting out, I'm snapping on people, I'm judging, I'm being negative, it's usually because, you know, I'm not spending the time I need to in prayer meditation. You know, to me it's just a sign that, because it's a sign that I need to do something different, and I know without beyond the shadow of a doubt that I cannot do something different by myself, that I need help to do it. So I know that when I need to change, I need to ask for help. Thank you.
Yeah, beautiful. Okay, well,
going. Okay, Mary Lou, thank you. Okay, are there any announcements from the group about AA?